This morning's scripture reading is going to be coming from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 23. For a little bit of context, this scripture takes place right after Jesus has fed the 5,000 and right before he's about to walk on water and teach the apostles a very important lesson. Matthew 14, 22 through 23 reads, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there."
Hello and good morning, everyone. I am glad to see every one of you here. I hope y'all are doing well today. And when it comes to this morning, I'm glad to see the brethren and even some visitors here. And as we had seen on the board, this morning's lesson was coming from Matthew chapter 14. And it was supposed to be through verse 33. Nevertheless, we're going to get to that in the lesson, so do not be dismayed. And this morning's lesson is going to be titled "Increasing Our Faith." Increasing our faith, and we'll see why it's titled that as we go through this lesson. And I want to mention that if you're a visitor, we love to have you. And if you could stick around a few minutes after the worship service, we'd love to get to meet you, be able to talk with you, and things of that nature. And so, with that being said, could you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll begin at verse 22. We'll begin at verse 22. However, it might take us some time to get there because I want to break down the context. And here in Matthew chapter 14, at the beginning of it, we learn about how John was beheaded. And that's also mentioned in Mark's account in Mark chapter 6. And so here we learn about how when Herod the Tetrarch, he heard about the fame of Jesus, and he heard about all the miraculous works that were being done. And some were saying that this was John the Baptist who had been risen from the dead. Others said that this was Elisha. And some others said, well, this is one of the prophets of old, and he has risen up. And we learn in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 3, that Herod had laid a hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Why? Because John had said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And Herod wanted to put John to death, but he feared the multitudes, for they counted him as a prophet. And also Herodias, she did not like him one bit either. And we learned that when an opportune time had come, that Herodias' daughter, she had danced before Herod and his guests, because Herod, he had made this feast for his nobles and his great men and the leading men of Galilee. And then he said to her, because she had pleased him, "I will give you whatever you ask." Mark mentions up to half of my kingdom. And so she goes to her mother and she says, "Well, what shall I ask him?" And she said, "Ask him for John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the scripture says that Herod, because of the oath's sake and because of the guests, he did not want to turn her down. And however, he was exceedingly sorry, but he sent and had John executed in the prison and beheaded. And the head was brought to the damsel on a platter. And we learn that John's disciples, they had took the body of John and they had buried him. Now, we get to verse 9, or rather verse 13. of John chapter 14. And notice what the scripture here says. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there to a deserted place by himself. And I want to focus on that right there. When Jesus had heard this, he departed to a deserted place. And in John's account, or rather in Mark's account of this same event, which is mentioned in Mark chapter 6, we learn that the apostles, they had came and gathered to Jesus after having come back from the limited commission that he sent them on. And they came and they told him all of the things that they had done, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said, come by yourselves aside to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And so they departed in the boat to a deserted place. And Luke says, then he took them aside to a deserted place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And I want you to picture in your mind this sea. And they're at the south part of the sea right now. And once news of this had reached Jesus' ears, they depart all the way up to the north part of the sea. And so that's where they're at. They cross the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. And when you think about this, John, he was one of the relatives of Jesus. They were only 3 months apart. And so there definitely had to be some sorrow in Jesus' heart, even seeing as Herod was exceedingly sorry that he had to do this. And when you think about this time period right now, Jesus had already been in his earthly ministry for about a year. And if you know anything about the ministry of Jesus, he had those early mornings and late nights quite often. In Mark chapter 1, we learn about a day in the life of Jesus. It says that he began his day preaching, and then from there he walked and he called two of his disciples, Simon and Andrew, his brother. And then as he went some more ways down the shoreline, he seen John and James, the son of Zebedee, and he called them and they followed him and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants. And then he continues to go and he goes into a synagogue and he teaches there, and there was a man with a withered hand and he heals him. And then after leaving that synagogue, he goes immediately into Simon and Andrew's house. And he heals their mother-in-law, or Simon's mother-in-law, who was sick with a great fever, as Luke records. And then from there, we learn that later that evening, people were being brought to him who were sick and who were demon-possessed, and he healed them and he cast out demons. Now, the scripture doesn't say what time Jesus went to sleep that night, but it tells us what time he woke up the next day. Mark 1 verse 35 says, now early in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. And so Jesus, he had those early mornings, those late nights. And so let's go back to verse 13 and let's put this all together. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by a deserted place by himself. After he heard what? After he heard about the death of his relative John, after he had already been serving for over a year or about a year, and now he's telling his disciples, come by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. And we know that Jesus, he followed the law perfectly. And in the law, it was saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, from implication, Jesus, he was going to get some rest too. And he wasn't fleeing from Herod. No, he had some sorrow in his heart. And we know that he was not afraid of Herod, for on one occasion, Luke records for us that there was these Pharisees, and they told Jesus, get out of here and depart, for Herod is seeking to kill you. And Jesus said, go tell that fox, I cast out demons today and I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be resurrected, I shall be perfected.
And he says, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it cannot be that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem. And so Jesus, he was going to a deserted place with his disciples. Let's continue reading verse 13. It says, but when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And another account says that they actually got there before him and his disciples arrived to the seashore. So they're going somewhere to find rest, but they're not going to end up getting it yet. Verse 14, it says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And Luke's account says that he was speaking to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who had need of healing. Would have done that? If you were already tired, one of your relatives, you knew he died, and now you're going to seek rest, and then now you get all these people following you. It's like, I want to be by myself. But no, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed them. Of course, that takes some building up too, no doubt. Now, verse 15. The scripture says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. Luke records that they may go and find lodging and get themselves provisions, for this is a deserted place. We get into verse 16, and Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And John, he records that when Jesus, he seen this great multitude coming toward him, he told Philip to get them something to eat. And Philip says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that each of them may have a little. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he says that there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, bring them here to me and make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and in number there was about 5,000. And this makes me go back to the 23rd Psalm, where it says that he leads me beside the green pastures. He takes me beside those still waters. And if you can picture that right here, that's what's going on. And as we continue reading, we get to verse 17, and this is what was mentioned here previously. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. They ate as much as they wanted to. They were satisfied. And in John's account, Jesus says, gather up the fragments that nothing may be lost. And guess how much baskets they filled up with fragments? They filled up 12. That was a miracle indeed. And the people, after they seen this, John says that they are recorded as saying, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And if you remember back in the book of Deuteronomy, that it was going to be this prophet whom the people were going to hear, that was going to be raised up from among the children of Israel like unto Moses. And it shall be that everyone who shall not hear the words of that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And we know that Jesus, he didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. And so we got to hearken to his words. Now, we get into verse 22 now. And the scripture here says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. I wonder why he did that. And as a matter of fact, we don't have to wonder, because this is mentioned also in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. And a rule of Bible study, try to find an event mentioned in multiple places and go study them and bring all the information together. That's what I did right here. And I learned that the reason why he sent them away immediately is because John 6 verse 15 says, "Then when Jesus perceived that they were about to come by force and make him a king, he went up on the mountain." He went up on the mountain. And well, why did Jesus do that? Because of what he said to Pilate when he was standing before Pilate. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight for me so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from this world." And we read in verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." I wonder what he was praying for. Well, Jesus, whenever he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told his disciples, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And if you remember one of the temptations of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, the devil, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, "All these I will give to you if you will bow down to me." And so that was a temptation right there. They wanted to take him by force and make him king. But his kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus, he had sent his disciples from the east side, this city of Bethsaida, this town, to the west side, to this land of Gennesaret. And he sent them before him. And let's notice what he does there again in verse 23. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." And so I want us to notice, here we're about to read of the account when Jesus walks on the water. And he sent away his disciples before it was ever evening. And we're going to learn that it's going to be the fourth watch of the night, which is going to be from 3 to 6 in the morning. And a journey that should have taken them about 2 hours, it's taken them the end of that day all the way until the next morning, almost the dawning of sun. And they're out there rowing, they're straining against the wind because it was contrary to them. Now, verse 24 says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." And so, as I mentioned, they're getting sent from Bethsaida, which is on the east side, and they're going to Capernaum, or they're going to Gennesaret, which is over here on the west side. And it's about 6 miles apart. And John says that there are about 3 miles from the shore. So they're about halfway. And it's already almost the next day. They should have already been there. But Jesus, in his infinite knowledge, he already knew what they were going to face whenever they had set sail. He knew that they were going to go through this storm. He knew they were going to go through this difficulty. But why did he send them? Well, let's learn about that. Let's go to verse 25. "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them." And Mark says he would have passed by them. And it says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" And oh yes, Jesus can be able to make us courageous. He can make us not to be afraid in the midst of the storms of life. But we got to take him at his word. Now, verse 28. Notice what Peter's going to say. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. What? Do you hear the words of Peter? This is a storm that was strong and the wind was blowing. And Peter says to Jesus, command me to come to you. Out of all the things he could have said, and he said that, do you think you would have mentioned that? Or do you think you would have asked Jesus, hey, there's a storm out here, come here on the boat where it's safe. But no, that's not what he said. He said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And notice what happens next in verse 29. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow. Peter, he's now walking on the water. Have you ever seen anyone walking in the water? And I'm not talking about like no Chris Angel type magician. No, no, no. This is an actual walking on the water. That's a miracle right there. And notice how many words it took Peter to trust in Jesus that he... Notice the word that Jesus spoke. All he did was say, come. And Jesus and Peter was able to walk on the water. And we remember that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ, by the word of God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. And so though these outward circumstances, it was stormy, Peter took Jesus at his word. And he was able to do the impossible. And we know that Jesus would say, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And notice in verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Here we can see the contrast between a faith that walks and a faith that sinks. Which one is true in our lives? Are we sinking under the storms of life because of doubt? Or are we walking valiantly, courageously to Jesus amidst the storms of life? I'm reminded that the book of Hebrews says that we need to keep our gaze permanently fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, the opening verses. And notice verse 32 again. It says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. John's account says that they immediately were at the land to which they were going. And so Jesus, he can be able to help us get to the other side. In this case, he was able to help them cross the Jordan River to the other side. But they had to trust him. They had to take him at his word, even though the outward circumstances were not favorable at all. And our brother James would say, whenever it comes to doubt, he says, but he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And right before that, he talks about counting it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. These trials, we're going to be able to mold them. And you can actually see Peter right here. And on other occasions, Peter, he's going to be singled out. Whenever Jesus told Peter to go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take up the first fish, and there was going to be a coin in the mouth of that fish. Whenever he took him up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and also we have some of the lows of Peter as well, whenever he denied the Lord three times. But then we see in John chapter 21 that he renews his Sorry, I'm at a loss for words right there. I can say he renews his faith for Jesus. He accepted him again. Now, we get to verse 33. Verse 33, we learn here that the scripture says, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" And so, right here, we learn about how this miracle that proved in their mind without a doubt that this was the Son of God. And as we continue reading, notice what the scripture says in verse 34. It says, "When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret." And remember, they've crossed over from the south side all the way to the north side of the sea trying to get rest. And now they're going to cross over to the west side. However, are they going to be able to get rest yet? Notice what verse 35 says. "And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well." And so here we learn that even after they went through all these difficulties, they were still going to have to go through some more trials to be able to enter into that rest. And I would say that the same is true for you and me nowadays, to be able to get that rest. And so, in summary, we've seen how Jesus' close relative, he was beheaded. That was a sorrowful time in the life of Jesus. And we also learned that they were wanting to go to a deserted place to get some rest. And they weren't able to get it yet. And we learn that Jesus, he performs this miracle. He feeds these 5,000. And we learn that he walks on the sea, and Peter comes to him. And so there are some valuable lessons that we can learn from this portion of scripture right here. And I encourage you to go study it on your own time, to be able to go read it, to pull out maybe even some more gems from it. Because we know that all scripture is profitable for us. And with that being said, it may be the case, brother or sister, that you're struggling under the storms of life, that they got you down, that you're drowning, and that you need Jesus to come save you. Well, I encourage you to seek him with the whole heart. And we're here to be able to encourage you, to be able to help you through it as much as we can. And if there are some visitors here who would like to study the scriptures, maybe you have some questions. Well, we'd love to sit down with you and talk with you. And with that being said, won't you come forward? Won't you make your need known as we together stand and sing?